Another day, another decline as the spring slump continues. From APM in New York, I'm Matt Nesto in for David Brancaccio. Global stock markets feeling some pressure here again today in the U.S. Around the world as well, the S&P 500 could be down, in fact, for a third day. This follows weakness in Asia overnight and in Europe this morning. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is an analyst with Seven Investment Management and joins us now for a discussion. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Are we in the early days of a global slump?
The global economy is growing at a reasonable rate. 3% is the global long-term average. That's okay. But actually, what you're beginning to see now is that, and it's where markets actually breed on fear, that actually people start looking around and saying, well, actually, if I'm frightened, is anybody else frightened? And you can start seeing that level of nervousness going through. The question is, will people turn around and say, hold it there. Actually, things are still going okay. Companies are still profitable. And so, therefore, it doesn't turn from actually 3 days going down into a rout. But some people are saying, I think we've done quite well. Why not take some money off the table for a change?
A lot is being made of a comment by Janet Yellen, the Fed chairman, yesterday that said valuations in the equity markets are quite high. Most people would say it depends on what you're valuing. You know, it's not one price fits all. And it's also perhaps a statement of the obvious. And yet, it's moving markets.
The issue, I think, really that concerns people is that is she telling us they're too high? She's almost moonwalking with the view of what's going to happen to U.S. interest rates. Yes, they're going to go up, but they're going up sometime later and later. The view is that those rates will eventually be going up, and the market at the moment has been actually saying, that's fine, it's still far away. The concern is that may be getting closer now.
Well, from here in America, Justin Urquhart-Stewart, we wish you a smooth election day.
I doubt if it's going to be, but thank you very much indeed for the good feelings anyway.
Let's do the numbers. As we said, weakness around the world here this morning. If you look at the FTSE 100 in London, it's down 1.6% right now, 1.5% down in Paris, pretty much the same in Germany. Asia down anywhere from 1.5% to 2% overnight, and U.S. equity futures down about 0.75% right now. When Alexion announced that it was buying Syngeva for $8.5 billion this week, chances are it involved a business that you know little about. Alexion develops what are known as orphan drugs, or treatments for rare genetic diseases. In the U.S., they affect about 30 million people, and Gigi Duban takes a look at that industry.
The thing about rare diseases is that they're, well, rare. And if you're in the business of making drugs, you need people to sell them to. Even though the pool of people needing these treatments is smaller, the payoff is huge if you're a rare disease drug company, says Adam Feuerstein. He's senior columnist covering biotech at The Street.
When you're charging, you know, $500,000 a year, you know, that adds up.
That's per patient. He says that's the main reason we're seeing all these mergers and acquisitions lately in biopharma.
There are just relatively few drugs being developed that can generate, you know, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars in sales.
Pete Mooney tracks the biotech industry for Deloitte. He says also governments have made this market lucrative, and they've removed lots of the roadblocks regular pharmaceutical companies face. So drugs get to market faster and help people in need.
So it does a very strong social good as well.
But Mooney says, as always, companies have to balance the cost of developing these treatments with how affordable they'll be for patients. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Voters in the UK will be going to the polls here today. One of the key themes of that election is called non-dom, the non-domicile rule. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
A question from the Labour Party leader, Ed Miliband.
Why should people be able to enjoy all of the virtues of our great country and not pay tax like everyone else?
Why are more than 100,000 wealthy people living in Britain classed as non-domiciled or non-dom and not required to pay tax on money they earn abroad?
It isn't just. The next Labour government will abolish the non-dom rule.
Miliband's pledge is proving popular with the public and has even struck a chord with some Conservative politicians. Here's one of them, Richard Bacon, in a parliamentary committee hearing into the issue.
You're surprised that people think there's one set of rules for the rich people and one set of rules for someone else, when you've just told us that that's exactly what there is. No wonder people are pissed off.
But the non-doms have their defenders. In this upmarket cafe in Mayfair, one of the most affluent parts of London, I met Russian property specialist Roman Grigoriev. he deplores the Labour plan. Many of his clients are Russian nom-doms who spend millions in the British capital.
You know, OK, that's good for a few London fat cats. It's good for you, Roman. But what good is it for the rest of Britain?
But what good it is to make London poor. So you don't get the country richer by restricting London from becoming richer.
He says if the non-dom status is scrapped, it could drive thousands of wealthy foreigners out of the UK. Treasury Minister Priti Patel agrees.
These non-doms will just probably leave the country as well. There is no evidence that this will bring in substantial sums of money whatsoever.
And it could cost the Treasury. The non-doms pay tax on their UK earnings, some $12 billion a year. Ken Clark, a former Conservative finance chief, also deplores the Labour plan.
You not only will lose revenue for the Treasury, but you will also possibly damage the economy. Some people come here to live for a few years to invest in a business.
But Labour says it must uphold a vital principle of fairness and equality in taxation, whatever the cost. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
It's been said that cash is king, but in Denmark, cash could soon be a thing of the past, at least for that country's restaurants and gas stations and retailers. The government there is proposing a cash ban to help boost business and the economy by freeing up the time and expense involved in such tedious pursuits like accounting for and guarding cash, as well as making change. The Danish public is widely behind the initiative. In New York, I'm Matt Nesta with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.